In 1994, 18-year-old Ted Oswald and his father robbed a bank in Waukesha County, took a hostage, stole and crashed her van, and shot a police officer. The Oswalds were later convicted of earlier crimes, too, which happened when Ted was still a minor. Both Oswalds were sentenced to hundreds of years in prison. Recently, a federal court granted Ted Oswald a new trial because it found his jury was biased against him. At the new trial, he's expected to argue once again that even though he was an 18-year-old adult when he committed the crimes, he wasn't fully responsible for them because his father brainwashed him into being a killer throughout his upbringing.
We're not just talking about somebody mildly, complaining about their parents not treating them right when they were children.
Jerome Buting is Ted Oswald's lawyer.
I mean, there was evidence about a very systematic sort of brainwashing that began when he was age 7 because his father believed in the Spartan way of training warriors that began on their 7th birthday. And from that point forward, his entire life was trained in a certain way that was very bizarre and contrary to what should have occurred so that someone could conform their conduct to the law.
In court, Oswald has said one of his earliest memories was his father forcing him to act out the clubbing of puppies with an imaginary pipe. In later criminal years, Oswald says his dad threatened to kill him if he didn't do his bidding. Attorney Buting points out that in a condition called the Stockholm Syndrome, hostages bond with and can even adopt the ideologies of their captors. He says if billionaire daughter Patty Hearst could become a Symbionese liberationist after just a few months with her captors in the 1970s, think what could happen when the captor is your father and has your whole childhood to work on you. But arguments like that aren't usually successful in court, says the director of the UW Law School's legal defense program, Crystal Ralston. Ralston notes there's no law officially dealing with brainwashing.
If you're going to use something like that, you'd have to work it into either some kind of a possible not guilty by reason of mental disease or defect kind of defense, or something that actually would go to an element of intent or knowledge in a crime.
Legally, if you don't have to kill someone, but you do anyway, and you understand what you're doing, then you're guilty of murder. Ralston thinks as courts decide those things, it might be good if they gave a little more weight to Stockholm Syndrome-type evidence to figure out if someone really was of sound mind enough to know what he or she was doing, and whether doing it was really the person's own choice. Of course, that last question is always a tough one. People have argued for millennia over whether anyone really has free choice about anything. UW-Madison law professor Walter Dickey admits he's not convinced anyone does, but he believes we need to act as though people have free will and then hold them responsible for what they do. But Dickey says for a while, some states, including California, were passing special laws to deal with situations like brainwashing. The buzzword at the time was diminished responsibility.
And it really sort of stood for the proposition that while the person acted intentionally, they had less responsibility or diminished responsibility and therefore should be held less accountable, that the offense was somehow less serious. Now, because of problems in defining just what diminished responsibility or diminished capacity was, that eventually led to the abolition of that notion in California and a lot of other places.
But Dickey says things like brainwashing are always taken into account by prosecutors when deciding whether to charge someone, by judges in sentencing, and even by jury members. In these areas, people's hearts and subjective opinions can sometimes soften the pointed logic of the law and give mercy to those who seem deserving. That didn't happen for Ted Oswald. He got 2 life sentences plus 565 years in prison, just a little less than his father. The DA who prosecuted him disputes the idea that that's because it was a sensational case with a biased jury. He also disputes the claim that courts should pay more attention to brainwashing evidence. And in Oswald's case, Paul Bucher doesn't believe he was brainwashed.
I mean, we found a diary written by Ted Oswald that said, "I need to replace Dad, becoming sloppy, becoming lazy." That clearly indicates that the coercion has long since ceased and he is now the leader. Don't get me wrong, the upbringing was very bizarre, but at some point, Ted made a conscious choice to move forward with his criminal lifestyle.
For his part, Oswald has claimed his dad controlled even what he wrote in his diaries. Prosecutors say they'll appeal the decision to give Oswald a new trial. If he does get another chance, the people called as jury members would likely have to decide whether it was Oswald's own free will to commit his violent crimes, or whether it was the bizarre and extraordinary influence of his father. Benson Gardner, Wisconsin Public Radio.